Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Jenny. Hey, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
So we are deep. Well, I guess not deep. It's our second episode of July out of four. Not deep into July, but it is the middle of the month.
Yeah. Halfway there.
We're halfway through July. And we, the episodes or the books we picked, words are going to be really hard for me tonight, guys.
It's a theme.
The books that we picked this month were very specifically sports that they do have in and around the Olympics. Now, last week we did racing. I don't think there's racing. Is there
not car racing?
Is there
people racing?
But racing is big in Europe, so it was kind of French.
Yeah, sure. It was European.
European.
We make the rules here, like
yeah.
So this week's book is baseball, which they do play in the Olympics. And just so you know, we aren't going to make you swim in the open waters of, it's the scene, right? That's how you say it, of yeah. Paris.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen all the stuff on that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can time your poop to
when it's going to pass either marks. Yeah.
Ooh.
But they cleaned it up so all the open swimming races can happen in it. No, thank you.
Nope.
Anyway, so we were kind of going with the Olympic theme. At the end of the month, our last Sunday episode of July, we'll give you all the Olympic book recs. So the reason I'm bringing this up is if you have a book with a sport that takes place in the Olympics, or you have a book that is set in and around the Olympics, send us your suggestions, because I went looking today to not have a lot of Olympic themed books.
I'll send you mine because I'm not going to be able to be on that episode because we'll have family in town. So I'll send you mine.
And Amanda's very sad that she
and
can't
I am
be
very
on
upset about it because it was like I was ready to go. So
I have a few, mostly swimming.
Yeah, swimming's pretty easy. I got a couple others.
Okay. I mean, I really want like a track and field high jumper. I mean, come on. Let's spice this up. Right. Okay. So on this episode of Sip and Discuss, we are talking about Fake Love by Jocelyn Soto. I do need to caveat this. She is a client of Bookcase Media, and I have done work with and for her. So just putting that out there so that we are transparent. But this pick was the community pick.
It was.
This was not my pick. This was the community's pick. okay, so stick with us for the next little while as we break down these enchanting details. Which one of you has a doc open?
Me. I do.
One of you pick and read.
What are we doing? The enchanting details?
Yeah, okay. Give us the details.
Okay. So the release date for this book was October 13th, 2022. The tropes are sports romance, baseball, one night stand, fake relationship, instant attraction, unexpected protector, redemption. This is a type of series. This is a standalone. It kind of interconnects with her other worlds, or in one world with her other books, I guess, in other series.
Yeah, there's a appearance from my favorite hero of hers.
And there's an appearance from my favorite hero of hers, too, in the end.
That's right. That is right. Yeah.
So this is, the POV is dual first person. The put out percentage is 13%. This book is available in Kindle Unlimited. And then also there are some content warnings. This book deals with cancer, drug abuse and addiction, and gun violence.
And I left off tropes. I think this is an age gap, maybe.
Yeah, I think they're like 9 years. He's like 35, yeah. Right? And she's like 26 or something. Something like that.
I didn't think he was that old.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
I thought he was only like 29 and she was like 28.
Okay. Oh, you know what? I think you're right. I think I'm thinking last week's book.
Okay. So not an age gap, but they are boss employee technically.
Yes.
He's the boss.
A little forbidden.
Sorta. I really think she's the boss in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
It And there are some heavy topics that Jocelyn gets to. And I will say all of her books have some kind of heavier topic that she deals with.
Yeah, they do.
And I do think that the emotion that she gives in the books are very well done.
I would agree. They're very realistic, like to the circumstances.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's just start with this. We've got our hero. His name is Maddox Bauer. Oh, he's 26.
Okay. I was
He's
totally wrong.
26. And
And
actually
she's like,
27. She's a year older than he is.
yeah, because I was like, because
Oh,
she's been
okay.
out of college for like 5 years.
Okay.
I pulled out
So,
my
yeah.
series Bible because
Oh, there
I
you
was
go.
too lazy to write notes. So, yeah, she's a year older than him. He is from Chicago, Illinois, where he kind of grew up with a single mom. And so, what did you guys think about his character?
I liked Maddox a lot. He was very close to Liam for me. So Liam is my favorite Jocelyn hero, as everybody knows.
From Skating the
And
Blue Line.
he was pretty close for me. I really liked his character, and I wasn't sure because at the end of Powerful Deception, you see the scene of his kind of spiral down, and so I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about him, but she made him really relatable without making it like it's a heavy topic, but it wasn't. I didn't feel like despair, I guess.
Yeah, at the end of Powerful Deception, which is Dante's Rossetti's book, you see Maddox's downfall. You see him spiral, the drugs, the women, the ambulance being called, to him having to go to rehab. And I think it's interesting that she did that she shows us this fall from grace, and how he has to redeem himself. Jenny, because that's kind of one of your things. You like that they have to rebuild, rethink, restructure. Do you think she did that well?
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I really like, okay, so I don't like that somebody's an addict, right? But I like that it was in a realistic way. Like, he wasn't just looking for the high for the fun of it. Like, he was using it as a coping mechanism and needed to find a new way to deal with life, which we see him get better, have a little slip, and then gonna get some like sense knocked into him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciated the support he had around him too, of his team, and then, his mom when she could be, even though she was sick, and then obviously, like with Jennifer.
Well, and I feel like even though his story is a little bit of a Cinderella story, it shows that just because you achieve your dreams, it's not always perfect.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, because of where he was at, it made him a lot more, it made it easier for him to get access and spiral quicker.
Yeah. So one of this is a bit of a one-night stand we talked about, and they have their first meet, which I thought was great and also really realistic as far as, like this is San Francisco. It's expensive to live there. And she's like, working all the jobs, doing what she can until she gets, what she needs. And he just kind of goes incognito.
Yeah, he just kind of comes into the coffee shop, and he's not sure at first that she doesn't know who he is.
Yeah.
So I thought that was also a good piece.
And I do like that she is connected to Selena, who is the heroine from Worth Every Second.
Yes, and I've loved seeing her and Hunter in this book.
Yeah, so this book takes place after Worth Every Second. And that's one of the things Jocelyn does is when she writes, she gives us snippets of from other books. So it forces you to be like, oh, who are those people?
Right. And I haven't read the other book, so I would say she does a really great job of you don't have to know those people
Oh, good.
to get all of this.
Um, So what, and we are not any of us, I don't know, maybe you are, Amanda. Jenny and I are kind of go sports people.
Oh, I like sports.
Was the baseball done well? What are your thoughts on the baseball?
Baseball is not necessarily my best sport. It seemed okay to me, but Lindsay would definitely be the one to
What's
ask if it was
that?
accurate, but it seemed okay to me.
Yeah,
And I
I'm
think Jocelyn's a bit of a baseball fan, right?
she is, and you don't realize this, but so Jennifer, our heroine, is half Mexican, half just American. And Jocelyn comes from a large Mexican family. Actually, Celine's family is very much Jocelyn's family. And
Okay.
she has tons of sisters, but they are not football family. They are like, so when they have to like, at her house, if there's a baseball game on, that is what they're watching. Like, and you do not touch the TV. It's a little chaotic, like Lindsay level of baseball love.
Okay. Yeah, so
Yeah.
I would trust it.
Yeah. So what did you guys think of Jen? I really liked her. I thought she was sassy and smart.
I liked her a lot. I liked her in Selena and Hunter's book. And I was hoping like we were gonna get a book for her. And then you told me that, that Fake Love was her book. And I was like, okay, all right, I'm in.
Yeah, she lives very loudly, don't you think, a little bit?
I think she is very like independent and strong-willed. Like she's not gonna settle for something like below her standard. And we see that with her relationship with Maddox. Like she's flat out like, hey, I'm not going to deal with your crap if you keep doing this. And with her job, like she's not willing to like take an office job with crappy pay.
Okay, so in this book, he actually plays for the San Francisco team, but he's pushed down to the minor league team because he has to earn his spot in the majors, and that creates this little bit different dynamic for them as a couple. Because oftentimes when we get sports romances, we get them where they're at the height of their dream and achieving it. And here we see that he had that and now he's stumbling and has to gain it back. And within that, growing this relationship, I do think that there are a little couple pacing issues that come from that, that at times the story can feel a little like, wait, where are we going? What, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get that, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the dates, because usually the dates that are like at the top of a chapter, I don't really like pay attention to. But once I like clued myself in, like, hey, I should probably pay attention to this, like it made more sense because you could be like, oh, we're like 3
Yeah.
later.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. That does help. So we talked a little bit about his support team that he has, and actually, I kind of feel like he has two different support teams a little bit, because there's the ones keeping track of him within the baseball organization.
Yeah, and I really appreciated his coach. And then I forget if it was the owner or the manager that was also kind of like rooting for him, and then the other one was kind of like, well, we'll wait and see what happens.
I think,
But I felt like it was very evident that he had much more support with his new team than he had with his old team.
oh, for sure. And then there's him going back to Chicago and dealing with the ramifications of being back. And I do think that that helped a little bit with his recovery, right? Being out of the city where the stress is, he goes back and he stumbles.
He does.
And Jenny's now in the dark. I also really appreciated like his old Chicago teammate Bobby kind of, stepping in and talking to him a little bit about like how things had happened. Because that I think it helped with the redemption arc. I think that's one of the things this book does really well,
Yeah, I think so too.
is the redemption arc, right? Like, I believe in his redemption. I think that he has true and pure intentions
Yeah, you don't feel like he's just doing it to get back to baseball or to, just get back in the limelight. Like you understand where his stumble comes from. He's very close to his mother. Like it rocked his world. And then Stacy said she thought it was, the nuance of grieving for someone who's still alive, like, kind of what that was doing to him. I think it was very believable.
I do too. And it's really interesting too, because we often don't think about that. That just because someone isn't dead doesn't mean that you can't grieve what you once had.
Yeah.
And for him, it wasn't just grieving the his mother's illness, but that he lost his position. He lost those sponsorships, lost his home in Chicago. I mean, because how many times do we read the book where the hometown boy is now the star and everything is just cupcakes for him?
Yeah.
It was nice to see a
Yeah.
story that it wasn't cupcakes.
Yeah, and he got traded. I mean, they didn't put up with it anymore. It was like the twice and we're trading you.
Okay, what else? So the fake relationship piece to help. I think that was the manager's idea.
Yeah,
Like,
who
right?
is supposed to be, I think, like modeled after Gabe Kapler.
Okay.
Because he sounds very much like him.
Is
I
that the
thought so
really
too.
handsome one that was at the
Yes.
Giant? Yes, I believe
With the
so.
tattoos. Yeah.
So that was his idea. Did you find the fake relationship to be believable, necessary?
No.
Don't you? I think that had she just been his digital marketing person, his social media
Yeah.
person, it would have been enough. I don't know that we needed
Right.
them to date.
Yeah, or at least
No,
they
no.
didn't need to pretend. Like,
Yeah.
there was no reason to pretend.
I mean, I could see it a little more for him trying to make his mom happy, like if that was the only piece of it, but like the part where his manager says, "Oh, you need a girlfriend to repair your image," like that was,
Yeah, I
didn't
don't.
really need it, but it was cute.
It
It
was. Well, they do bring up, like, he is in his first year of sobriety. So, I mean, that is something
Yeah.
they tell you not to make any life-changing choices, but
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Well, and Selena has such a good time with it. Like, watching her on this side, because
Yeah.
after their book, you're kind of like a little wrecked for Selena.
Oh.
And then you get into this book, and it's fun to see her character growth between the two books was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, and for her to be have that lightheartedness about her and to be, secure with her relationship with Hunter and all of that, because Jen totally gives her a little bit of a hard time in her book, so it's fun to see her give it back to
Yeah,
her.
I agree. And their friendship. So this is a book, it's not really a girl gang yet. But this friendship between these two women has girl gang vibes.
It does.
Yeah.
And we actually get a little glimpse again in it in hitting the goal line. The
In
last
Blake's book, yeah.
Blake's book with
Okay. Yeah,
Okay.
we see that, like, the formation of it maybe at the
Yeah.
end of this
Yeah.
book.
Yeah. Like, I love a girl gang, but sometimes it doesn't start that there's like 17 women that are all best friends.
Oh, yeah. I
Right.
like the ones that build.
Yeah, and you're not, I mean, just because you're like in the wives and girlfriends doesn't mean you're gonna like everybody.
Right. And sometimes a girl gang can just be the two people
Right.
that
Yeah.
are, building community, protecting, their relationships, protecting themselves. Because that's something else I think that was really great to see between Celine and Jen is that they work really hard to protect each other.
Yeah, and you can see that. I mean, you see it in their actions and just how they show up for each other in big moments.
Okay. Anything else in this book? It's actually a pretty fast read.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
is.
Was there anything else in this that you guys want to talk about that happens?
Go ahead, Jenny.
Oh, I was gonna say, like, the when she's at the street festival. So I didn't read the trigger warnings. I just went in and I was like, oh. Yeah, I think that was a major turning point for them as a couple, and that was realistic.
Well, and he just like loses his shit. He cannot get there. And everyone's like, dude, you can't get there.
Right.
Yeah, it's and that is something. Jocelyn is a younger author. I mean, she's younger than we are. And you can tell that some of the things that she writes are experiences that she's had in life. So I think that that is a younger millennial experience, is the duck and cover, the fear of, mass shootings and stuff like that, because of this training and stuff you get in school. It's not something as a Gen Xer that I necessarily think about.
As a parent, like a millennial parent, I think more about it, like, for my kids. But like, if we would go to a street fair, my kids will be like, do we need ha we have a code word? So yeah, it's something that's like a different experience for each generation.
And it's interesting because, I'm still of the mind. I remember the first time one of the first times the kids came home and said, oh, we had like a fire drill or an earthquake drill or something. And I'm like, oh, and you went under the desk and put the book over your head, right? And they're like, huh?
Like,
Like,
what are you
what?
doing, Mom?
I'm like, didn't you have the, like the nuclear drill that, like, if the sirens went off, you got under the desk and you put the book on your head? I don't know.
Yeah, we had the
So,
same for tornadoes. So, yeah.
they didn't move us into the hallway or in the bathroom or anything.
Well, we went to the bathroom,
Oh,
but
no. The desk and the book on the head were going to save us.
Yes.
The only time you moved was with the fire drill. You had to leave the building. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But apparently, you don't duck and cover under the desk anymore.
I
Oh,
would
that was only
probably
for
not.
nuclear bombs. I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
Oh, okay. I was gonna
Yeah,
say, oh.
I don't think they, I mean, it could change, but they don't
I
practice
really
that right
don't
now.
think that's gonna save any of us anymore, but
No. That's, yeah.
Stacy says she was so nervous the mom was going to die when she got the phone call at the game. So glad the mom didn't die. Yes,
Same.
same, same. I too was waiting for it, but I kind of like that the mom too had a little bit of her own HEA moment. And we actually get to see them again in, I think we see the mom and the mom's friend in one of the hockey books.
Do we? I have to go
Maybe it's
look.
Blake's book. It might be Blake's book at the last of
It
the.
might be, and I think I probably didn't realize who they were because I went back, I read that one first, and then I did
Yeah.
the other two.
I think it's one
So.
of the moments with the Jacobies, the Jacoby family.
Okay. I'll have to go back and read
Because
that.
Jen comes and they're in the house in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
So, and again, Stacy was upset. She thought when this was only one book, she was upset it wasn't in a series. All of, so like Liam is a college classmate of Maddox's.
He's my favorite.
And we see Liam in book one of the Dark Knight series.
Hockey series,
And then Dante, his book is Powerful Deception, and that is his story.
Oh, I was going to ask you, does Lucas doesn't tie in with anything, her cousin,
He
right? Or does
does.
he? Okay.
Salulus May is his story.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to read that then.
That is his story. And then I think that's it for crossovers. The sports agent Cole, we actually do see him again, I think, in book two of The Dark Knights.
Oh, he's in Christian's book. Oh,
Yes.
yeah. Okay.
Okay, so the Batman hockey retelling. No, The Dark Knights is just hockey. The new series that Jocelyn has launching in August, that is the Batman retelling.
Yep.
And as you read the hockey series, you can tell that the author is a bit of a comic book Batman nerd, because you get all of the names, some of the things that they do and such. They're like, oh,
There are so many Batman references. It's fun.
so many. Yeah. So that's coming out in August. Is the Lane family are the Waynes. So, and we get all the kind of the characters are different, like Robins, and anyway, like it's so layered. And the only reason I know all the things is because I live with a Batman obsessed person. So the boy child is all the crazy about the Batman.
Fun.
So, yeah, but the hockey does tie in to this. Hunter Jacoby, his brother's book is the third book in the series. So, anyway. Okay. So let's get to our thumbs up, thumbs down, and then we'll talk about books if you liked this, other books we think you should read. Okay. So, Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Amanda, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
And this is a thumbs up for me. I like this book. I know there are some errors in it. Those are being updated. The author is aware, so. But this is one of those where it didn't bother me because it
Yeah.
wasn't consistency of characters.
Right.
It was a word or a punctuation.
Yes.
And no one's perfect at grammar 100% of the time.
Nope.
I had a debate today with Leah about semicolons versus commas. In case you're wondering, Leah hates semicolons. I'm a fan of the
Oh.
semicolon. So,
I'm good either way.
Very useful.
and we
Yeah, I
confused
can
poor
be.
Merritt.
Oh.
Because I edited her book and I changed a bunch of things to semicolons. Leah went through and removed all my semicolons and changed them back to commas.
Oh my gosh.
So,
When in doubt, just make it two sentences.
right?
Yep.
Right. Anyway, we had to get into the grammar war talk, and Leah's like, I just don't like semicolons. I'm like, okay. So I feel like Leah needs a t-shirt that says, I hate semicolons.
Sticker.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're out there.
Yeah.
Probably.
But I hate the Oxford comma, so.
Oh,
There
same.
are definitely shirts for that, and I love the Oxford comma.
So
Do
many.
you?
Yeah, I mean, it's just ingrained in me.
Yeah.
I do a lot of academic writing, and yep.
I think because I had to, and then I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore.
I would like to watch the Oxford comma die a very nice death.
So
Good
funny.
luck.
Hate it. Okay, so if you liked Fake Love, what are some books you think people should try? Jenny, you got any?
I got a couple. Like as far as like kind of a rom-com baseball series, The Cooper Valley Fireballs by Pippa Grant. It's more of her like, I don't know, stack slapstick like comedy type stuff, a little ridiculous but funny.
I like those books.
Yeah, and then like fake relationship with but like the instant attraction is there already. Dirty Like Me by Jamie
I have
Dimon.
that one. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's a rock star and she stars in like his music video, so they have a mutual attraction, but he also has an image problem. And
Okay.
they start a fake relationship.
Yep. And then you get to like, and the other, there's some other books in that series with the addiction piece too. So that whole series I
Yes.
thought of.
What else you got, Amanda?
Honestly, I had a book when I was at the dentist getting my teeth cleaned today and I lost it and I couldn't find it. So,
Oh.
I don't know. And I was like, I went back and looked at my shelves and I was like, I really like, I don't know. But the only thing I could think of was What Happens at the Lake by Vi Kieland.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not really like fake relationship or whatever, and the addiction is kind of like outside their relationship, but the The feelings and kind of like the character arc reminded me a lot of that book.
Well, yeah, and the grieving, though, the things that you've lost that aren't necessarily, it's not death. Like, grief isn't exclusive to death. And in that book, they do deal with grief, but it's loss of, course of life or not necessarily just death.
So that's the only one I could think of outside of the Dirty Like Me.
So I went with baseball for my recs. Feisty Red by Stacey Kennedy. It is a secret baby romance. And Second Chance. Scoring Position by Mimi Kinley. It's just sexy times. It's less of sexy times. Swing by Adriana Lock. Out of Reach series by Kaylee Ryan. And again, that series, I do think book two is a maybe. Yeah, book two, I think, is a fake relationship in the Kaylee Ryan series. Two or three is. Ember by Emma Renshaw. That's a baseball romance. But it does deal with some grief and emotions. And Scored by Sloane Howell. Again, really good baseball rep, good emotion. Changing the Game by J.C. Burton. And then The Devils in Denim by Melanie Scott is another one that's really good baseball romance. So that is what I had for those. Okay.
Hang on. I feel like we have to mention that Jiffy Kate has a baseball series,
They do.
or somebody may
Oh.
like hunt us down.
Right. Well,
Yes.
I didn't put that on my list because I honestly thought one of you people.
Yes. Seriously, I think they drilled my brain today at the dentist office because I also just now like the New York Lions by Lulu Moore. Also, Lindsay would probably yell at me for not saying, but I really think I just lost my mind today, so excuse me.
Okay. Because I like really, I had the Jiffy Kate and I'm like, no, it's Jenny or Amanda. One of them is going to
Yeah.
say it.
Sorry.
I figured somebody else would have it. But yeah, if we don't mention it,
somebody, Jiffy Kate might come for us.
Yes.
I mean, and there's so many fake relationships with sports. You can check out our Goodreads shelf. I think that that's a common trope in sports romances.
Yeah,
Yeah, I think
especially when you
it.
get a PR.
Yeah, I think it gives a reason for a fake relationship.
Yeah. But I do think this one felt a little different than what we typically, just because his crisis happens outside of her and he's already started the work.
Yeah, and also because I think they have the one night stand first, too, I think makes it
Right.
a little different.
Makes it
So.
different. Okay, so make sure you join us this coming Sunday for our next episode. It is me and three authors, and I'm kind of excited about this. I mean, I'm really excited about this, not just kind of, because they are best friends. They all write a little differently, so this is going to be really interesting. You have author Amy Award is coming, and she promised to bring her friends. So she's bringing author Sylvie Stewart, and Sylvie writes super spicy rom-coms. Like, Amy writes slow burn rom-coms. Sylvie is like six chili peppers. I cannot give you enough spice rom-coms.
Yeah, I just read her for the first time this year, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And then they're bringing their friend Mike Lane, who has a lot of sports why choose rom-coms, but also other sports rom-coms. So
Fun.
I'm excited
That was
because,
fun.
Amy writes such slow burns in her contemporary stuff
She does.
that I'm like, how are you all friends? How do you not yell at her like every other day and be like, could you put some more
Well,
spice here?
she gets it out in her paranormal
Is
stuff.
that what it is? Well, I mean, and she does have spice just a little differently, right? Because, like in Cock Down the Block, she is OnlyFans, right? So,
The OnlyFans, or is it what it is?
no, her mom
No,
is
her mom is the.
her mom's the former porn stars.
And sends her items.
That's right. I mean, who wouldn't want a mom like that, right?
Right.
Okay, so like I said, Amy Award, Sylvie Stewart, and Mike Lane are gonna come on Sunday night and hang out with me, and we're gonna learn all about being author besties and about writing rom-coms. And then next Wednesday's book selection is our book club book, which is Wild Open Hearts by Catherine Nolan. So we'll be here next Wednesday to talk about that, which they're female billionaires in that series, correct?
Right. Yes.
Excellent. So that'll be a little different, which I'm kind of excited about. Jenny and Amanda, thank you so much for hanging out and joining me tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at @BuzzingAboutRomance or on Twitter at @BuzzingRomance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.